His ears must have been burning because he came in here sprinting. Dave Pezzo joins us now on KIDO Talk Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
I got a little scoop for you.
Oh, do you?
I was watching on Channel 7 this morning, and somebody was mimicking you behind your back.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They were? No.
Your hand gestures.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Well, I'm watching your back.
Oh, I got.
Unlike the people at Channel 7.
How could I see it? I can't see it.
Exactly. That's why you've got me watching you like you watch out for our money.
Gosh. Well, I...
Wasn't that a great intro?
That was great.
The best ever.
You're excited this morning, Kevin. I like it.
Dave Pezzo is here to defend high gas prices. Now, in a month, they've risen over 50 cents a gallon.
I know. It's a big move.
And?
And oil, fortunately, seems to be topping out.
So. I don't want to lead the witness. I don't want to be accused of badgering Dave Pezzo here. By the way, Dave Pezzo, host of Money Matters, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. You can catch him on Twitter, Facebook, or every Saturdays from 8 to 10 right here. Your thoughts, sir?
Fortunately, oil is topping out. It has gone straight up, and I'm not sure why, Kevin. You know, you and I have talked about this incredible renaissance we've had in this country where we are now energy independent. And I'm not sure people fully appreciate how big a deal this is, where we're not just buying oil from people we don't like and sending money to countries that sponsor terrorism, things like that, that are very, very important that we're not doing. But on top of that, it has created such an amazing number of jobs from, I think it was last week you and I were talking about a barber making over $100,000 a year, truckers making over $100,000 a year.
That's in Texas.
And that's in Texas. Wherever there's jobs, that's good stuff, right? And so what I'm saying is this just isn't just oil field jobs. It has such a huge ramification all the way around. And when you're building billion-dollar pipelines or billions of dollars worth of pipelines, as they are in this country now, it is an astounding jobs, if you will, economic boost. So the fact that we are there is such a big deal, but it also means we have a lot of oil in the world, a lot of energy, and that those prices seem to have been coming down. We got this spike that went straight up for the past few months, and I think it's a little toppy here.
Sure,
you know, but again, I'm not an oil expert, but this doesn't make any sense. We've got plenty of supply.
Right.
Prices will come down, and they are.
Right.
Fortunately.
Well, they're not coming down though.
Well, it takes time to get to the pump, Kevin. It took time
cents,
for us to get caught up to how did, fast they went up.
It didn't take that long, if you're talking a month, raising the prices by 50 cents a gallon.
No, oil's been going up for several months.
But 50 cents a gallon in a month
was ridiculous. It was like
that's
we
collusion.
Finally took off.
That's collusion. That's the Russians. That's collusion.
That's the Russians are hacking in and raising prices.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a brand new theory. I'm going to have to defer on that one.
All right. Dave Pezzo joining us, Money Matters, KIDO Talk Radio. I've got another one for you.
Okay.
Amazon.
Yes.
So.
Death Star.
By the way, you had a great weekend. You probably did something in the outdoors.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Golf.
Right.
Yeah.
Good for you. I'm very happy for you in your golf game. I had a chance to catch up on what a lot of people would say is work, but it's for me, it's watching television. Like, for me, working is the people that are, you know, framing houses or working on the roads. That's work, right?
Right.
That's work. So for me, it's a sorry excuse for work when I say I'm watching the television, but I am watching tape of the 5 town hall meetings on CNN. Coming away from it, I was very struck by two people that seemed very authentic, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Out of all the 5 that I watched, I'd have to say I watched about 40 minutes of all of them. Elizabeth Warren was probably the most sincere when she talks about Amazon. And her idea is to break up Amazon because Amazon, let's say Dave Pezzo creates a line of Dave Pezzo Hawaiian shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Pezzo's Hawaiian shirts are blowing it up on Amazon. Now, according to Elizabeth Warren, Amazon will get an alert. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Pezzo's Hawaiian shirts are blowing up. They will create their own similar like product,
mm-hmm.
Amazon's Pezzo's like shirt, Hawaiian shirt. They'll put it at the top, and Dave Pezzo's Hawaiian shirt will be put back 16 pages. She says that's anti-competitive. She believes you can't be the referee and a player. Your thoughts, oh, protector or champion of capitalism, Dave Pezzo?
Yeah. Yeah, I you know what? I don't agree with her very often, but there's something I do agree with her on, that the big tech companies, to some degree, need to be broken up. And the reason I say that with Amazon is this is just another reason, and I have to agree. It is anti-competitive. You can't decide, like Google does, okay, and same thing, is that if Petzo Financial isn't paying Google some money, then it doesn't matter how many times quotes were mentioned in the press, we will not be number one or two or three. Those are paid to be in that position. I don't mind if anyone says this is a paid ad and things like that, but the fact that they exclude things, and in all fairness to Google, they've gotten a lot better at this. But I agree with her comment that you can't be the referee and a player at the same time. It doesn't work. Now, but my biggest concern with Amazon is the fact that they have two distinctly different businesses. One is, as I call the Death Star, which is out there beating up and destroying many, many retail businesses, and that's fine. That's good. That's fine on its own. But if you're using money from another source to undercut prices to sell price losing things, that's the problem. And they make a ton of money, billions and billions and billions of dollars in their cloud services. I would simply say you just take those two businesses and separate them so that you can't take billions of profit from one area to undercut pricing in another and lose money. That's antitrust right there.
Let's see if we can continue on turning Dave Petzo liberal. By the way, you can join the conversation anytime at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Amazon paid no taxes.
Yeah,
Dave Petzo, you pay taxes?
I paid taxes.
Right. The Petzo Center, did they pay taxes?
Quite a bit.
Right.
Yeah. We're in that very expensive downtown Boise area.
Well, you love it because the state of Idaho is not very business friendly when it comes to how it treats businesses with taxes. Am I saying anything wrong?
No, you're not.
Okay.
I'm not happy about it.
So Petzo gets hit personally, professionally, the business gets hit, yet Amazon pays no taxes. They're the world's most profitable, biggest, most expensive, whatever you want to call it, the big enchilada.
They're close to it. Yeah, there's three companies up there. Yeah, but yes, let's call it the biggest enchilada.
Although Exxon might be there with the high.
They used to be, Kevin, but they're not even close anymore.
So here you have again.
Yep.
To folks, to some of us who have stains on their shirt already this morning, how in the world can a company that is so profitable, so ubiquitous, not pay any taxes, and there is no outrage?
Right. Well, two things. First of all, because they proclaim to be liberal and progressive thinkers, they get away with it in the press, right? As long as you agree with people, then you're not the bad guys, you're the good guys. So far, they've been kind of the good guys. The second part of that, though, is that in fairness to all companies that employ people, we pay a lot of tax. It's called payroll tax, and it really does matter, and all those employees pay taxes. So if you're out there creating a business and you are losing money, and Amazon has for a long, long time, then they do not have to pay taxes. You have to be profitable. So they are profitable on one side, Kevin, and that is the cloud service business. They are not profitable on the retail side. And that's my problem. You can't take money from one to feed the other when you're anti-competitive. Nothing wrong with feeding another one if you're not undercutting prices or losing money to sell goods.
Here's another story that is interesting, especially if you're going to be flying anytime soon. Apparently, Boeing waited until after the Lion Air crash to tell Southwest safety alert was turned off on the 737 MAX. What do you make of that?
We will wait and see. That doesn't sound good.
No,
I'm not an aviation expert.
Well, you fly more than most people.
I don't think I fly that much, Kevin. But
well, are you on
the answer is it, because you're a flyer doesn't mean that you understand an airplane
more than I do. So that makes you the expert in the room.
In the room,
yes.
Okay, I'll go with that.
And here's the other one. I mean, you've got the fast pass with the TSA, right?
I do.
Well, you, Warren Buffett, and all the big wigs.
So just a few of us.
So you are the expert when it comes to that.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. So that makes me an aviation expert.
Comparatively speaking, sir.
Okay. All right. The answer is it sounds bad. I don't know, and I hate to throw them under the bus because you're going to continue to hear one report after the other about how they did this or there was colluding in that. It doesn't make news to say that Boeing is doing everything they can to get these planes back in the air and make sure they're safe.
Yeah, but on the other hand, in fairness, sir, Boeing slow rolled this. And Boeing got, I mean, hey, here's a new feature. You can look at it in your iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Half the pilots didn't do it. Now, with all due respect, I'm just going to give you the facts.
Okay.
And by the way, Boeing is very sacred to us because, as you know, Bill Boeing used to own KIDO Talk Radio.
Yes, that's right.
And he had to pick between radio and airplanes. I think he made a bad choice.
Right. Yes, a terrible choice they made.
So here we go. Boeing did not tell Southwest its largest 737 MAX. By the way, this is from CNBC and the Wall Street Journal.
Yep.
Trusted news sources?
They are.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
It's a 737 MAX customer that a safety feature was turned off. You're asking what the safety feature was? It's an alert that lights up in the cockpit if a plane's angle of attack sensors transmit faulty data about the pitch of the plane's nose. Southwest did not know about the change until after the fatal Lion Air crash. The FAA even considered grounding Southwest's MAX fleet while they weighed whether or not the airline's pilots needed additional training about the safety alert, according to the Wall Street Journal. Your thoughts, Dave Pezzo?
I don't. Fortunately, none of them crashed. That's a big deal to me. And the airplane has a reasonable record up till this point. And so I just don't know. I don't know, Kevin. I don't know what the structure is there. But to me, on the front, it doesn't sound good. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. That somebody was out there just simply turning it off. And these are actual aviation experts. I'm just pretending to be one. Comparatively speaking,
you are the aviation expert in the room.
In the room. And it just doesn't look right to me, Kevin. It just totally doesn't sound right. It doesn't look right. And if I'm doing a lot of business, and Southwest does, with somebody, and they're in the business, you just don't make an arbitrary change like that without letting me know. I would be very angry.
580-5436, 580-KIDO. Maybe you are an aviation expert. By the way, here's another one, Dave Pezzo. You follow the business. Southwest is having to deal with less planes.
Yes.
Getting ready for the busy season.
Exactly. No, it's a big money loss. And Boeing just, not last week, it was a week before they announced earnings. They're not giving forward guidance right now until they get through this. But they did say that they did write off $1 billion already because of the costs of this. That's going to be one of the costs. They are going to have to make their customers whole that have on planes that are grounded and losing revenue as it sits. So I'm quite sure that Boeing's losses won't just be the lawsuits from the deaths of the folks on those two airliners that went down. It's also going to be the complications you're talking about, and it is big money. It is a huge problem for them because they now all of these, what do they fly? These Southwest planes go up and down, up and down, up and down, 8-10 legs a day. So those are all missing, and all of those folks have to find other connections until they get those planes in the air again.
More coming up with Big Money Dave Pezzo. Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. All right, we continue on with Firing Line with Dave Pezzo. Your calls, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Do you, I don't want to bogart the topics. Do you have anything? Because I've got a few more for you.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll let you back in, but I'm going to give you some of this right now, okay?
All right.
If I got the microphone, I'm going to talk. We've got 3.2% GDP growth. Unbelievable. Now, here's the point of that. 3.2% is way better than expected. But, Kevin, literally 4 months ago, economists broadly, I'm not talking about just the handful of the wormy little ones that just always call for the end of the world. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about broader than that, talking about the fact that we were going to be near zero growth. 3% at this point in an economic cycle is unbelievable. Further, I want to add how wrong all of these folks were about the fact that the economy can only grow by 1 to 1.5%. That's just the way it is. That's all it is. And that's what the Obama administration said. All the way through, they sold us on this stuff instead of saying, if you get out there and you allow the animal spirits, get government out of the face of business, lower taxes, lower regulation, you watch this thing go. And everybody made fun of Trump's stuff, and I'm telling you what, this is exactly why it works, and it is amazing numbers. These are so different than what we were going to be dealing with just months ago, and those supposed experts never have to be held accountable. I mean never held accountable. They'll be back next time just like, well, and now we expect this and this, and everybody will go, oh!
oh, the economist Joe whatever now thinks the economy is going to do X. He's been wrong for a decade. We don't care. He's a hero to us. And they, it just goes on and on in this cycle. But it's really wrong, and it really twists people's perspective of what's going on in the economy, how to invest, why they should invest, and keep their money in the sidelines because they're scared of things that never happen. Quit listening to these idiot economists and listen to your what has been history of the markets all along. 10 years of a bull market, and many people have missed the entire thing sitting there in doom and gloom.
80%, 85% missed the bull market.
Yeah.
You know, we never want to be predictable here. So we've talked a little bit about gas prices. And by the way, throughout the week, every time people bring up gas prices, I tell them to listen to Dave Pezzo. And of course, we love Dave Pezzo. Back to Amazon. Amazon is so proficient. I wrote a blog about killer robots that will fire you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're in Idaho. You know, if you, on a good day, my wife, my mom, maybe Tea Party Bob reads a blog, that's like quadruple the circulation for the blogs that I write, right? So I write about this algorithm or something at Amazon. I can't even remember what it was about. So I get a letter from Amazon.
Really?
Saying, we don't fire people with automation, blah, blah, blah. Please include this statement in your article. That's how crazy they are that they found out about this goofy blog that I wrote about killer robots working at Amazon.
How about that?
Yeah.
Wow, Big Brother's here.
Exactly. How it must be their algorithm. However, there have been several articles by the Washington Post, by the New York Times, trusted liberal progressive sources about the work conditions at Amazon places. Now, Amazon wants to disrupt the shipping industry. You seen the trucks around with the Amazon stuff?
I have. I know.
They are undercutting prices by a third. Is that good news, Dave Pezzo?
No, it's certainly not for the truckers out there. It's terrible news. They are trying to make sure that they get a handle on delivery and can't be held, if you will, at gunshot. To anybody, to deliver a package, to be in retail of any kind. They want to have multiple sources, including themselves. They want to control all the way through. I can't blame them. I'm not blaming them. But I'm saying that there are many things out there that are anti-competitive. One of them is trucking because they are doing it at less cost. Now, that's fine if it's all in retail, but again, I don't think you can take money from a completely different business, come in and undercut other people at a money losing business in order to drive them out of business.
That's essentially what they're doing, Dave
Pezzo.
It is
essentially what they're doing. Yes.
Anything else you'd like to share with us? I hate to be predictable.
Do we have time? Do we have time
for you, Dave Pezzo?
It's not just the GDP numbers. We're up 25% since the bottom in the market. And you can still hear the palpable doom and gloom. It's all going to end soon. It's too long in the tooth. All of those economists out there telling people to not invest, that this was a sugar high in the economy because of the tax cuts, are dead wrong and not going to be held accountable. That's just the way it goes. But so many people react to the news, the headlines, and the headlines are always negative. And it drives people out of the greatest wealth-creating vehicle ever known.
Now, I thought real estate was.
Not even close.
I thought real estate was. Now, the real estate guys, you know, that's my backup career is real estate. You know, everybody.
That's your backup?
Not a lot of people are getting into real estate, so why not?
Most people don't have a backup. That's smart of you, Kevin.
Look, I have so many backups. I got my photography business.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, you're good at that.
I got the video business.
You're passionate about your photography.
Yeah, I never do anything with it, but that's why it's the backup.
That's right.
And now the real estate business.
Yeah.
Finally, what do you make of the growth going on? It's just crazy. This new article saying Meridian is going to be 150,000 by 2040.
Yep.
I think it'll be 150,000 before that.
It probably will be, Kevin. There's room to grow in Meridian. And
less taxes, I hear.
And I, yes, I do, too. I know there are. And so it is. It's a boom area, and it's right at the heart, right? You remember how they always move the center of where the population base is? It's moving, you know, is out past Eagle Road now. That's where the population's moving, is out to Europe, out to the hinterlands.
So, indeed.
Yeah, it's a big boom. It's not going to stop, Kevin. This city is on fire, and it is – this city, this area is on fire, and people have discovered it. You can do work from anywhere. You don't need to be in Silicon Valley.
A quick 30 seconds. Dick Lugar dying over the weekend, senator from Indiana, ran for president in 1996 with something called, even before Steve Forbes came out with it, the flat tax.
Yeah, I know. It's sad. The spokesman for this, and they're so right. They're so right on every level that some kind of fair flat tax, you can exclude infinite amounts of income, whatever you decide, and have a flatter tax, creates a much better economic system than one where we try to hide money, we try to figure out how to get certain tax deductions. It doesn't go to the most productive things in the economy. It slows it down when we use tax code to be social engineers.
Dave Pezzo, we always appreciate it. Thank you.
Kevin, I appreciate you. Thanks for doing what you do every day. We appreciate it.
It was a jolly Kevin Miller this morning.
It is. I love this Kevin Miller. This is good Kevin Miller. You hang on to that Kevin Miller, okay?
Thank you, sir. You're listening to Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Well, doom and gloom and doom and gloom and doom and gloom. Oops, again, another bad week for the doom and gloom crowd. I mean, it was a terrible week. And of course, especially for the liberals, it was an extremely bad week. The economy is on fire. Corporate earnings are coming in better than expected. Productivity gains, wow. Wow, were they good. And just to kind of like just dig a little there, just twist that knife a little bit for the people that really wish the United States wasn't doing quite so good. The jobs number was amazing again. Not as amazing as the month before, but way better than expected. And here's what a lot of people thought. The month before was so good, they're going to revise down. No, they revised up. Pretty crazy. The unemployment rate is at the lowest level since 1969. Perhaps the weirdness of it is that, once again, some of the basics of economic theory are, well, they're correct. It's weird when you get out of the way of business. You reduce taxes, you reduce regulations, and you let entrepreneurs run, what you get. And then there's all kinds of explanations as to how the world is ending, or Wall Street's a big casino, or something like that. There's never really any, my bad, you know, I was wrong. I don't like Donald Trump, and I don't, you know, or I don't like, you know, I have all these social issues over here. But running from the market, running from the economy, just like those on the right that decided that Obama was going to be the end of our country, when we let politics get in the way, kills us. Kills us. Just kills us. You know, it's amazing all the explanations that go around, you know, because we what do we try to do here? You know, we try to take a 30,000 foot look at things, right? Just go on up and look around a little bit. And when it's possible, and it's very hard to do, go back out further, miles and miles and miles and miles, so you can really look down and see this beautiful, amazing world we live in. Incredibly abundant. When we get caught in this microcosm of life, of all the things that are bad, and the politics are bad, and then this is bad. And we all have bad things in our own life that pile onto that too. But when we get so close to it, so close, that we can't see how good it is. I mean, it's one of those things that just absolutely baffles my brain. How is it that we live in the most abundant time
in the most abundant country. And we got so many people are just all angry and fussed up about how bad we have it, how bad it is, how offended they are. We miss it. I mean, can you imagine living your life that way? It's like this guy, you know, it's a bright, sunshiny day, and it's like, no, it's awful. Okay. Wow, you're angry. You know, it is. It's really it's baffling, right? You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? It has everything to do with it. When we don't see the world clearly, when it's all disaster, it's all bad, and all we're doing is we're sitting there reading the doomsday blogs. You know, people like Peter Schiff and who are the others? You know, Stansberry Research, all those people. My goodness gracious. What a waste of time. But it's more than a waste of time. It just sucks the life out of you, the belief that anything can go right. All in the name of selling you on gold, equity indexed annuities, things that don't work. Because the end's coming, but buy stuff from us. Wall Street's a big casino. Ooh. Yeah, if price is the only measure of risk, I guess it's really risky. Never gone to zero. Has always done 10%. But we can dump money into products that absolutely guarantee they won't work. So here we come again, rolling around to all-time highs. All-time highs. Greatest wealth creation in all of history. And many people have missed it. That's why attitude is so important. It's not just, you know, important, because otherwise you're like a total bore if you're just Eeyore all the time. But it's amazing how it really infects our thinking. I mean, how do we miss things like this? How do you sit it out? Why do you guess when the top of the market is? And how many people were, yep, see, I knew the market would correct in November or early part of December. As we bounce off the bottom of Christmas Eve, and here we are, 25% plus higher. Like we always do, back to all-time highs. We don't know when we move to all-time highs. What we know is that we do inevitably move to all-time highs. But if we choose to constantly be, you know, oh, God, look at this. I mean, it's like even the Wall Street Journal can't. I mean, they have to make stuff up every day. Every day. It's not like, you know, there's not much to talk about, guys. Who would subscribe? But there's always like a reason on everything. And it's like, oh, why'd the market go up today? Well, it's low inflation ratings or it's a good productivity report. No, it's not. It's none of that. It's none of that. That's what's so bizarre. Those people that do the best in investing are people that buy great corporations, put them away, and leave them alone. Probably don't spend a whole lot of time reading about why the market is up that day. Market isn't up because of low inflation readings. I'm actually looking at a real headline from last week. Like, really? Always a reason. Always got to have a reason. It didn't just go up because more people showed up to buy because things look pretty good out there. No, it was a certain thing over here. Or as oil prices went up. Or they went down. And nobody ever stepped to go, what are you talking about? You just said, you know, the market went up because oil prices went up. And then you said the market went down because, or went up because oil prices went down. You can't have it both ways, but they do. Because we can't, as human beings, just accept that things kind of are rolling. And it's okay. We don't seem to just be able to accept that, you know, the grass is green and the sky is blue. We want to know why. Why those colors? There's nothing wrong with that. That's part of who we are. But what we have to do sometimes is just go, it's just pretty good. Why is the market up? Because, well, it's just pretty good out there. And quit looking for the end of something or the beginning of the next and looking for these defining moments. It doesn't make you smart. Actually, it makes you kind of dumb.
Well, I'm just trying to study.
No, you're just guessing. You don't even know how often you're wrong because you won't write it down. I mean, you probably actually tell yourself how right you are. Yeah, I knew this. You know, like I've said this before. I actually knew a guy who goes, you know, I got a real sense for these market crashes. Oh. Really? Had this other really smart guy, and I feel bad for him. Because he's got everything. You know, he's just smart. He's got a great family. Beautiful wife. Makes good money. Got an inheritance. A good size one, actually. Really good size. Really in a great place. And it's like, I'm going to invest, but I'm not going to invest now until the market crashes. What do you mean? No, it's going to crash. I've been studying this. We're still waiting. I don't know if he's gotten in. Don't know. It became apparent we're not a good match. We don't trade. We don't guess market bottoms. It's not what we do. Not what anybody should be doing, but people have to do it. And the problem is he's like really smart. So smart, he's clever by half. He's outfoxed himself. And this is a serious problem people have. And the problem is, for people, we can't recognize it in ourselves. We don't see it. But we just had some amazing numbers again. And sometimes this is, if you will, getting rich is so easy, it's silly, right? Cup of coffee a day, 150, which is 55 bucks, right? 150 bucks a month, 40 years, 1.2 million in the S&P 500. Not the best fund, not on Microsoft's IPO, blah, blah, blah. Good, the bad, and the ugly, the S&P. It's not rocket science. It's literally that easy. Oh, well, you know, I mean, I love it when people go, well, you know, I had a finance degree and I have a finance degree. Right. Okay. Cool. I mean, literally. It's like, I know what's going on. No, you don't know what's going on. And we overthink it. We outfox ourselves. It's a really serious problem. Things are good. And the best thing you can do is just put the paper down and go, all right, what my eyes see is that things are pretty good. Okay. I guess I don't need a reason why the market did this today. Was it oil prices? Is it a low inflation number? Is it productivity numbers? Ooh. It's not. That's all news source stuff. But what it does is it mixes us up. It's okay out there. It looks pretty good. It's not looking pretty good. It's looking fantastic. Which is why all the doom and gloomers are wrong. But you see, bad news sells. It sells you on, oh my gosh, the Wall Street casino. We've got to go and buy an equity indexed annuity and give me tons of money in commissions. That's what you have to do. And I guarantee you it won't work. Ever. Yeah, they're guaranteed, and they're guaranteed not to work. Perfect. We go through this constant fight of worry over things that don't deserve a bit of worry. Not a bit. Well, what about... quit reading. Stop it. Don't you understand that their job is to scare you? Period. Their job is not to give you information. It's not to educate you. It's not to help you with your investing at all. It's to scare you into buying products from them. The scare products, and it works. Back away from the screen. back away. We got to take a quick break. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It is Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Wow, you know, it is, I have to admit, it's kind of fun to be watching the market do so well, come back so firmly. It's a wonderful thing to see. It really, really is. Hey, by the way, we're going to talk in the next hour. I got a nice email this past week about wanting to address the active versus passive question. We've talked about it a lot here, but yet it's always good to review because, frankly, the active managers haven't done a good job. So let's talk about it. We're going to talk about that in our education segment in the next hour. Right now, we're going to run over to Payette and talk to Dean. Dean, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dave. I heard you and Miller talk a little while ago about breaking up Amazon. Did they? I thought we already had antitrust and monopoly rules in place.
We do. We do. And that's where the Commerce Department gets into it, Justice Department gets into it, and if they feel there's a violation of it, then they can certainly break up a company. But it's not just because a company gets big. And don't get me wrong. If somebody is delivering it, as long as it's not anti-competitive behavior, and it, you know, Google does that, Amazon does it, they all do it to a degree, and then they get slapped, and they have to do things differently. So, and we saw that a lot. We see that almost every year with Google. Europe says, yeah, pay us, you know, $5 billion because you're behaving badly, and they do. Cough it up, and they keep behaving badly. But what I'm trying to get at is that with Amazon is that I think they are in violation where you take money from one service, meaning their cloud business is so good, it's so profitable, that and then you take that and you're pouring it into money-losing businesses that drive other competitors out. What's illegal, or it seems to me is illegal, I'm not an attorney, seems to me illegal, is to take that money, or if you will, to take money and undercut pricing below cost so that you can drive everybody else out of business.
Right. Yeah, no, that's what I, you know, I mean, if you know that, then and now I know it. I mean, that just seems to me like it'd be pretty cut and dried, break them up.
It's never cut and dried, obviously. Illegal things are not. And but at the same time, it seems to me that they ought to be talking about these things. The same as the idea that Facebook gets to ban everybody on the right. They don't ban anybody on the left that talks about, you know, killing President Trump, for example. That's okay. That's not hate speech. That's nothing. That's nothing. That's how people feel. It's normal, especially if you're out of Silicon Valley or, you know, somewhere super liberal like that. And it is very disconcerting to me that that is okay, that the media is okay with just being one-sided. They're just a wing of the DNC. It is a problem in this country, and I hope that we can address it because these countries companies are very, very powerful. And this is how we communicate, is social media. And if somebody can control social media the same way as in Russia, they control the press, social media, everything. Same with China. You can't have any, you know, disagreement, and you can't have any real dialogue. It literally is the, you know, to me, it's a very fundamentally enormous problem. It really is in our country right now, and it does make me nervous for our future. So I kind of I don't mean to lump them all together, but to me, these are very powerful companies. And I think we need to be taking a hard look at breaking them up.
I agree with you. You're preaching to the choir. I got one more question if you got time.
I do. I've got 1 minute.
I asked you about a month ago, I asked you what Miller's big deal with the sales tax on food, and I never caught it if he responded or if you said anything to him. Or
His big deal on what? I didn't catch it.
Oh, on sales tax on food.
Oh, sales tax on food. You catch him all the time. He does have a big thing on it. He thinks it's a much fairer way that we shouldn't, on our necessities, pay sales tax. It is regressive. So the poorest people are affected the most.
Well, I don't know. How do you look at it? I look at sales tax the fairest tax in the world. So
I think it's a very fair tax, too. And I think all people need to pay something into society, period. I do. If you, on Medicaid, do I think you ought to be able to go to the doctor for free? No. I think you ought to pay $5 or something, even if it's nominal. Everybody has to participate. If there's right. no work, there's no worth. If there's no payment for services, there's no value in that service. There's right. none. And everybody should participate. It's part of humankind. It's everybody participates. We all participate together. We do. In this thing called life.
Challenge you Monday, and I'll try and make sure I listen.
Okay. All right, Dean. All right. Thanks for your call.
Have a good one.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
This is speaking of weekends, this is going to be a great weekend, isn't it? I mean, it's a barn burner, right? About 75 degrees every day. Man, that's going to be nice. Anyway, next hour coming up, I'm going to be talking about passive versus active, index funds versus not. And actually, that world is blending and graying and things. It's just not cut and dried anymore at all. But and I like the changes that are coming. And we'll talk about those. What are active, quotes, active beta or active ETFs, exchange-traded funds? What are they doing? And it's becoming a very interesting thing. One of the things that indexing has done is brought those costs down on the active managers. So we'll talk about that coming up. In the meantime, we're going to take a break here for Fox News, and I hope you'll stick around. By the way, if you want to get on, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. And of course, we are not here to tell you what to buy and sell. That's all noise. And before I get into this active versus passive, I wanted to kind of mention this because it's an important point. It really is important. Just remember this because there's so much noise out there. Now, Jim Cramer is, I'm sure he's a great guy, seems like a funny guy and all that stuff. And he's kind of noisy. Okay, he's really noisy. But he always has to have an opinion about everything, and people expect that of him, and it's just like he's an entertainer. But that's not what people take. They take it as really good information. But I want to tell you something. There's a very interesting point that talks about this just this past week, okay? So Cramer comes out, and he's saying, I get out because, you know, or take some of your chips off, Tim. Not get out like the world is ending. He's not a doomsday guy. I don't want to overstate it. But take some chips off the table because we're going to have a market correction. Why? Because the IPOs are sucking up the available funds. Now, initial public offerings, right? Because we've got some new ones out. We had Lyft. We're going to have Uber. And we've got these. And they're like, it's a red hot IPO market. Okay? And so for the first quarter, literally, there's been $10.3 billion of IPOs. Big number. Do you know what the corporate buybacks were in the first quarter? Final Jeopardy question. 30 times that number, $300 billion. $300 billion. But the IPOs are sucking it up. Really? This makes no sense. The corporations themselves are bringing in $300 billion. But the $10 billion IPO market, ooh, watch out. Statistics lie, liars use statistics, or it's just bad analysis. We don't want to cherry pick things. You hear politicians and political pundits talking that way. It's kind of like, well, the jobs report. Well, the people that have purple hair did not do well in this jobs number. Not as well. Okay. Pretty weird statistic. Everybody did well. Including people with purple hair. But, you know, we do that because we're trying to make our points. Our belief, we got to back it up no matter what. Don't give me any facts about it. I'm not going to change my mind. Don't you dare expect me to change my mind about anything, ever. I'm locked in. And we do that, and we want to prove that the market's going to go down. We're going to find the data for it, and we just won't give up. I mean, there's just so many people out there over the last 10 years. You just can't even imagine how many letters I get, how many notes I get, how many phone calls I've gotten about the end and how I don't understand. I just don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get it. I get it. I got it. There's going to be market corrections, and things happen, and the market is nothing's perfect. Okay? But we got to be careful about this. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we got to ask the question. So when somebody's blabbing about things, are they just talking their book? Are they just really, are they like parsing little data points to make their case? Or is there validity in what they're saying? If you don't know, don't listen. What's the point? I mean, really, you're saying like, well, I'm watching it all the time. You know, I'm seeing things. But do you know if it's correct information or not? Is it significant that the IPO, well, yeah, because what do we see with the IPO situation, right? Oh, yeah, this company came out, Zoom or Zip or whatever it is, and it went up 80% the first day. It's red hot. It's like 1999 again. There it is. Here it is. It's all over. I mean, this is just, this is what we do. It's what we do because we're trying to make a case, or people are trying to make a case. And if you're sitting there listening to it, you think you're actually learning something. You're learning nothing. It's anti, because you don't even know if the data is reasonable or it's a reasonable analysis. That's why it's silly. It's not that you think people need to bury their head in the sand. Sometimes, yeah, if you don't know what's going on, just put your head down. It's okay. If you don't know what people are yapping about, just put your head down. It's all right. It's okay. All right. I want to talk about this. Great. Thank you so much for sending a note, giving an idea, and sending an article. And we'll touch on that article as well. I appreciate it. Let's talk about active versus passive. What are we talking about? First of all, active management, meaning, okay, I'm going to analyze. I'm going to decide. I'm going to buy Micron because it's the best chip company, and I'm going to buy some Boeing because it's the best aerospace company, but I'm not going to buy Bombardier, okay? That's active. That's making decisions within the sectors, within the market of what you want to own. Passive says, I'm just buying the whole market. I want the big guys. I want the S&P 500. That's all. Or I want the whole market. My preference, if you're going to do that. The whole market. I want some small caps, some mid, and all the big companies, not just the S&P. And I don't want it to be top heavy like the S&P is. The whole market. And those are typically called ETFs or exchange traded funds. Mutual fund managers. Now we're blending. And I'll come back to this, okay? But we're blending. We now have active ETFs. And we're going to have more, by the way, because they just changed. They're changing the rules. SEC said, okay. So they're changing. Pretty cool. It's going to be big. I don't know that mutual funds will exist. They may all be in a wrapper of ETFs in the future because there are some significant advantages to exchange-traded funds, and we'll come back to that. I just want to talk about active and passive right now, okay? So the rule has been, and the law has been, and the academics all say, this is a fact. Of course, now remember, academics, well, you know, they're smart. But they're also the same people who have said, you need to have 60% stocks and 40% bonds, and you'll be okay to take 4% a year out, even though interest rates are at 2. So academics are, well, locked in. Locked in to stupid, no matter what. Because this is what I grew up learning. Or we also learn economics that, you know, if the government just spends more money, then the economy will boom. No, it doesn't. But don't ruin the whole thought process and all my academic studies and all my education with the facts. Okay. We don't want to be locked into our thinking. you and I don't want to be locked into our own belief. I like active managers. It makes sense to me. But can I use ETFs? Yes, I can. Should I have some core holdings of those? Absolutely. I agree. But active versus passive, when we look at things simply and say, well, you know, hey, if you're charging more because you have a whole team of people running around the globe spending money to try to analyze stocks, you can't outperform the market. End of story. Or the average active manager underperforms. Another true statement. And that's the end of our academic study. It just doesn't make sense to me. I think it's both. I think the best management is blending of both. But find some good managers. And I'm not going to give you a bunch of names here. I just want to give you some facts. I remember a manager getting up one time and saying, yeah, you know, because somebody had said, you know, the performance last, you know, year, two years hasn't been very good. So, yeah, that's true. It hasn't. The way things go. In fact, many years over the past 20, he put up a chart. Many years over the past 20, we have not performed as well as the market. But somehow over that time, $10,000 grew to 40, and in the market it grew to 20. I kind of went, yeah, what are we talking about here? Short term, long term? What are we talking about? In a world that is hyped up and hopped up about short-term things. And what is the difference? Because it's not fair to say, you know, because I've been doing this a long time. We do know the difference. You feel it. You sense it. You know it. You hear it. You see it. You watch it. And as things change and the world is changing, we have to adapt as well. I mean, having a constant dogma of, well, we're value managers and we like to have only low PE ratio stocks in our portfolio. Okay, well, you're dead. I mean, you've so vastly underperformed for the last 20 years, I can't even imagine you still managing money. We all have to adapt. It doesn't mean we change who we are. It doesn't mean we chase after things that are hot, but we have to adapt. And that's hard to recognize which firms are adapting if you're not in the industry for decades. You just don't know what you're looking for. But I want to use some statistics here that and look at it, because over long periods of time, there are managers that do. And I don't want to just talk about averages, because there are managers that have characteristics that do outperform that you should look at in combination with the passive investments. So if we've got our passive, yeah, I just want to own stocks. That's a great decision. That's the really only decision you need to make. I'm not going to be a fool. I'm not going to sit around here and go, oh, price is the only thing that matters. Okay. Day-to-day fluctuations terrify me. Okay. Then you can't ever invest and you can't ever have money then. You can't. It's the easiest thing in the whole wide world. So all you have to do is behave correctly and you win. Bang, you win. And you don't want to go out and buy stupid things that won't work. You just don't want to do that. So behaving, whether it's passive or active, this is an argument that misses the point. Just go behave as an investor. Buy stocks, whether you like the whole market idea, the index, or active management, or a combination, which is what I like. Don't care. Buy and own and don't bail. And you win. You're rich. That's it. Now, when we look at fund families, like the whole thing, sometimes there's stuff that's like crazy good about them. We don't know why. It's like something in the water. It's in their culture. But we do and can define certain things. Low cost is key. So if you have low cost, active management, that's good. Doesn't make them good, but let's start there. Low cost. Do the managers own their own fund? Do they eat their own cooking? If they don't, that's a tall tale. It is. That is really a tale. So we want low cost, belief in what they're doing, and they own it. Their wealth is there. And they don't try to follow the index. They're not, quotes, closet indexers. And I got to tell you, over the long haul, you see some groups that are just amazing. Not year to year, but the returns are astounding. I'm just going to kind of look at one right here from the 1970s. Okay? And this is why it matters. 17 of their 18 funds outperformed. 17 out of 18. That's what I would call, well, not even close. Not even close. Many of them had double the returns over that period. Now, not double the compounded return. It's not like they earned 20 when the S&P did 10. But you see, a little bit of compounding over decades equals a whole lot of money. One of them nearly threefold. That's astounding. I can't give the name. I'm not going to do it because I'm going to try to sell you on the idea of owning these guys. I'm just saying. There are managers. And there are characteristics to those managers of that outperform. Even when we come more towards modern times, we see percentages that of outperformance that are really quite high. Like since 2000. What's special about 2000? Nothing. Nobody's trying to cherry pick anything. If you've listened to this program for any period of time, we like to just chop up all of this dogma of statistics. Under the banner, if you will, statistics lie and liars use statistics. We know that. We don't want to follow it. So there's nothing wrong with passive management. Nothing wrong inherently with active management, except it doesn't work unless you find the characteristic. That's what you have to do. Passive doesn't work all the time either. And it certainly doesn't work when you're withdrawing money from it. Passive can't work. Oh, you got to be very active in what you're selling and refilling the reservoir, if you will. Very careful. It's very active. Or you're very dead. That's another time. But you know, the thing is that when you look at this overall, I don't want to say you got to buy this or you got to buy that, you got to do this. It's back to what works for you to keep you in the game. But there are active managers that do beat the market over long periods of time, and it makes sense to me. When they're committed, passionate, long-term, they're all in, and their costs are not excessive. Then they have a shot. It doesn't mean they're going to beat them, but they now have a shot at it. And I don't want to parse data any more than anybody else and say, but if you analyze those that are low cost, that eat their own cooking, and are what they call active share, have high active share. That's a group right there that most of the time beats the index. Not all of it. Not 90%+. But once you're in that category, you have a shot. Now you do your analysis from there. Don't buy the high-cost funds. I agree with that. And there's some out there that have some high costs that you have to, because you want to get in a certain sector. And I don't want to get into that right now. But bottom line, there's not an answer that you have to be all active or all passive. I believe it's up the middle. And we're going to talk more about that later. Maybe not later today, but we'll keep talking about it. How these two worlds are blending together now. Now that is nothing but good for investors. Nothing but good. Costs have been coming down, 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 down. That is great. That is great. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. By the way, that email address is Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, by the way, love to talk to you. That's kind of why we're here. And not doing just recordings, but I did want to let you know next week, hopefully, we're going to have Senator Crapo. He'll be calling in this week. We had tried to do this a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, and it just didn't fly. Obviously, things come up in D.C., and I appreciate the senator taking the time to call in. We'll do that during the week, and it'll replay next weekend, and I hope you enjoyed our congressman, Russ Fulcher, last week. I certainly did. What a nice guy. Really nice guy. We are really blessed in Idaho to one to have access to our congressional group, as well as they really do a good job. They really do a good job. They are working at it and representing us. So I think we're very advantaged here. But we're going to endeavor to have a few of them on here over the next few weeks because, well, it's. They're interesting to talk to for me, and I hope they're interesting to hear from for you because it is important the work they're doing, and we don't always know exactly what is going on because the national news is only going to be just really superficial, super superficial. Nothing much going on there, right? Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We have Tom on, and let's go ahead and go to Tom here in a moment. But I did want to, again, remind people to please do give us a call. If you prefer email, that's fine. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Let's go to Tom. Tom, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you very much for your program.
You betcha. Thank you for calling.
Okay, a couple questions here, logistics-wise. This hemp stock market. I've researched somewhat. I've got some animosity about what's going on there. But okay, we use dollar bills to invest in their stocks. I understand the banks are federal. I get that. So you go to cash out. Now, due to the fact that our state doesn't recognize hemp or marijuana, I get that. But how protected, that's basically what I'm getting to, is how protected is your money and can you get it back? Do you understand?
I do. Now, there's two different sides to it. What you're talking about is buying stocks in cannabis companies, right? So you can do that. They're Canadian. I don't even know that there's a U.S. one. Frankly, I think they're all Canadian that are trading on the exchanges, okay? You also are going to be dealing with, but and that is just like a regular, you're buying a stock. There's no federal involvement to what you're talking about only being able to use cash. The difference is if you're going to go own a distributor, right? So you're going to sell pot in Oregon. Well, you have to deal in cash because of the banking laws that you referenced. So that's different. If you're, and also within the industry, we ran into this recently, found it very fascinating, but somebody had loaned money, a client of ours, loaned money to a marijuana startup of some kind. And they were wanting to pay it back in cash. So what do you do with it? Well, if it's over $10,000, there's an issue, right, at the bank. It's not that they won't take it at the bank, but you have to have an explanation. And so they're being paid on a loan, not with a check, but with cash. Fascinating. Yeah. And so there are some different nuances, if you will, to what you would think of as an investment is not normally handled in cash is. So that's the side of it. But if you're talking about stock, Tom, you're talking about these companies are, in fact, it's just you're buying and selling stock. You're not actually sending money to the company.
Yes, I understand now. I guess I was getting that confused due to the fact I do know of an outfit in Huntington, and he's having to hang on to all the cash for whatever reason. I don't know if that's changed recently. That was 8 months ago.
No, no, no. You have to hang on to the You can't. There's no banking for illegal operations, and federally, it is illegal. So that's where that's the differential, Tom. But as far as buying a, I can't think of the names of the companies right now. Just escape me. But the Canadian companies that Tilray is one of them, and I can't think of the other ones, Canopy or something like that. But they're fairly good size. Cannabis companies, and it's going to be a big business. There's no doubt about it, but that doesn't make these companies succeed at all any more than the early computer companies were successful, like Commodore. Gone. They don't exist. These were early adapters in the race for computers, and it just doesn't always work out that way. So be careful out there. These are not money making companies at all. And frankly, they're growing a weed. You know. They really are. It's not something that's hard to grow. It's not that expensive to set up. There's no barriers to entry. It's free for all.
I think that most of them are wanting investors for the processing side of it to extract the CBD oil.
No, now that's going to be handled, in my opinion. I think that's going to be done by big companies, big pharmaceuticals, things like that, that are trying to are going to be packaging it. They've got distribution, and once they get lobbyists to agree, if you take the THC out, that this isn't a bad thing to have people use if it works. And I just want to have it tested. That's all. I just want it to be tested just the same as that little pill you take for your cholesterol or your pain or whatever it is. I think it's reasonable to say that cannabis is a drug, and it has radical effects on your body. And we ought to test it. That's all. I don't care if it's flipping natural. That's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. People make a case. Well, it's all natural. Yeah, well, you know what? Poison ivy's all natural, too, and it ain't any fun.
Sure. So is DDT, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I'm finding that a lot of the smaller fish in Canada are being consumed by the bigger fish, and then they're getting into the larger production of it.
They are, and there's companies. Constellation Brands bought a big pot company because they're going to make drinks with pot in it. And I think also, though, there's big money there that they can study and go deeper with it and maybe come up with some things that maybe are. You know, it seems to me that a lot of people are helped with some of the characteristics of cannabis. And so if that's the case, then have at it. I just want it tested. I just want it to be thoroughly vetted before we find ourselves in a place that, oh, yeah, well, even though it was really good thing, dude, here's the long-term outcome of it. It's really natural, but I'm really messed up. That's all I'm asking.
Sure, but I believe it's through an embryonic R&D stage right now myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is something that has intrigued me. I've just been watching it, doing some research, and wanted your take on it, and I do appreciate your time.
You got it, Tom. Appreciate the call. You have a great rest of the day.
You do the same, sir.
Thanks. Bye now. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We got to take a quick break here for Fox News, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. The board is clear. Let's give us a call. Bound to be some questions out there. Happy to try to answer those. I know when things are nice and quiet, and you know, and also it's a really nice weekend, and we're in the summer and all, there's not quite as many people that are just going, I got a lot of questions, or no, people are busy in their yards, and we appreciate you listening. But also that brings up this, if you have anything, as we talked about in our education segment, that comes during the week, shoot it over to us. We'll be happy to talk about it. Love to talk about it. But if you do have a question right now, we'd love to hear from you at 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net if you do prefer email. Now, I know we're getting a couple callers lining up here. I want to again reiterate this because it is so super important. We hit all-time highs. Period. It's not a bad thing. It's just plain old, period. It's a good thing. And we're in a very political time. We're in a time now where, frankly, the Democrats don't know what to do because they put all of their chips on the Mueller investigation, and they're now going ballistic about all kinds of things. And the media went all in, too. Because I think, really, the media is nothing more than an extension of the DNC anyway, apparently. Now, this isn't a political show, but the point is this. We do have to understand that the news is loud. It's negative all the time. It's doom and gloom. And particularly, it's important sometimes to say, the jobs report was good. Period. No comma, but just period. Productivity numbers were great. Not productivity numbers came through slightly better than expected. But analysts are worried that this pace cannot keep up. That's what the reporting is. Instead of just this honest, where are we today? GDP grew by an amazing 3.2%. Period. It's not what you heard. GDP was up better than expected, 3.2%. But analysts are quite worried about the one-time sugar high of the tax cuts or whatever else. That's what we hear for reporting. It's very different. And if you just perceive for what it is, the sky is blue, period. It's a sunny day, period. The economy is good, period. It changes everything. Everything. When we give voice, we give hearing, we give file space in our brain to all the comma buts that are nothing more than political commentary because I can't stand Donald Trump. He got to get rid of him no matter what. Even if we destroy the Constitution of the United States of America, even if we have the FBI, we have all this deep state stuff going on, we don't care. We got to get rid of this guy. Yeah, that's going to end well. All of that. It feeds into this. Instead of the economy's good, we just can't accept it. And it really does affect our investing. And money flows show it. Money flows show it. We are plugged in, wired in every way conceivable. Every way conceivable. And it just makes it loud. And people haven't been investing in the greatest bull market. It's sad. So don't dismiss this. This is very big. Very, very big. Our attitude is so important to our investing and what we let in that file space in our brain. What are we letting in? Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jim, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Excellent. Beautiful day, huh?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, I should get out pretty soon. I shall. Anyway, you mentioned earlier Cramer and entertaining.
Yeah.
I cannot believe any blithering idiot that watched that, and it is entertainment. Okay, now I'll make a bit of a switch in professions. Lawyers, for instance, right?
Right.
Now I'm sure that in getting a law degree, you've got to take acting 101 in entertainment. There's got to be a course.
Right.
Well, they don't want me on a jury because I would see through that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not about to do anything that somebody like Cramer talks about. I mean, you've got to be kidding.
Right.
So, anyway, but I'm extremely unique, as you know, so.
You are unique. But that's good. We're all unique. But the point is that, yes, you have an ability to.
Well, somebody screaming stuff and telling people to buy or sell, give me a break.
I know. I know. It is crazy. It really is. I really can't watch it, but they're, you know, but you can't help it. Sometimes I'll be on the, if I don't work out in the morning, I want to try to get something in the afternoon. You know, you got your headphones on, boom, there you go. So, and you see it and you go, I got to push the button. You got to change channels. But it is crazy that people do. And it's been on for a long time. But I'm not picking on him. It's just that this kind of parsing of data and it is just bad analysis. And I think people need to be aware of that. It's just bad analysis.
One other thing you mentioned, which is true, I guess, these days, social media and communication. Now, that is an anathema to me, you know. Like, if I want to communicate, and today, you know, people use email, I'll do one-on-one. But this social, social media communication, I don't know. You know, you push technology, you say technology is great, but everybody in the world knows what everybody else is doing, and maybe this is stopping a lot of bad stuff happening.
Yeah.
But it's dumbing down a lot of people, too. And they talk about fake stuff. Maybe we should accept the Russians coming over, right? Now, there's a lot of us that could not stand Hillary Clinton, and we couldn't care less what the Russians thought, you know?
Right.
I mean, my vote is not going to be swayed by any Russians or anybody else.
No, nobody did. That's well known, but it can't be accepted because they can't accept it. It's sad. It really is. It just is. It's because it just doesn't help the dialogue at all. And all they do is spend time doing that. They have no message. I don't know what their message is.
Well, you know, they've talked about the new economy, which is asinine, when the millennium changed. Well, you know, you also talk about Amazon.com and Google and antitrust. It's almost like they're giving them a pass because they're cool. They're air.com, you know. That's kind of a break.
Yeah.
We don't care if they put everybody else out of business.
And we should.
I know.
We need to. And they don't seem to care if they censor people that disagree with their political views and won't censor people that should be censored because, well, they're more associated with their viewpoint.
Well, you know what's interesting is, okay, Silicon Valley, and you could say that technology should be neutral. Okay, now how come all these inventors and all these guys are liberal? Why aren't they conservative?
I know. Well, they're not all, but they mostly are. You're right, and because they all come out of that area, and it's groupthink.
Well, yeah, you know, and the rest of us, whether you're conservative or whatever, pay homage to them. You know, they're the only game in town. So
they are, which is why we have to be very careful about that. Because if Google is deciding that they don't like me or my politics, or I don't pay them enough, then somehow I don't get showing up except on page 63 of a search.
Well, see, that's the thing, okay? From what I know, how many people go to page 2, you know?
None. That's the point. And if you're on page 6, you're done.
Yeah, well, if you're on page 2,
yep.
I very seldom, when I'm doing that, I very seldom get past page 1, you know?
Exactly. That's the point, because it's not... You say, well, you know, that doesn't seem like a problem. It's a massive problem. It's censorship. That's exactly what it is, and that is a massive problem. So,
and
anyway.
Yeah. The thing they got to take care of. Well, anyway, have a great day.
You do the same. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Kevin, hang on. We're going to take our final break, so we've got plenty of time to visit with you. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, real quick, we had a caller call in and just wanted to get a quick hit on a stock. It's not a stock. It's a mutual fund you're looking at, by the way. It, you can always tell because it ends in X. That is, and I quickly was able to look it up. It's a leveraged fund. I'm not going to give the name of it. And leverage meaning it is terrible. Just stay away from those things. It's nothing more than a day trading vehicle. And for most people, it's gambling for day trading. And for almost everybody, that means they're going to lose money and they're going to lose a lot of it. And I don't have time to go into all the reasons why, but these leverage things are bad. In my opinion, they should not be allowed, period. Period. Okay. All right. There you go. Kevin, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Yes. With the fuel prices going up so drastically in the last 6 weeks, I'm just wondering on any investments with oil companies involved. Is it a time to buy, a time to sell, a time to just hold pat, or where is the oil market headed?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Obviously, it's a commodity, and I can't think in the long run that it's going to do well. And the reason why is because of technology. Technology is everything in every industry, and it is people just dismiss this. And I have to say, this to me is one of those defining things that we talk about. Kind of like I was taught as a kid that the world would be orange and polluted terribly. Well, it's not. Well, my bad. And we were going to run out of oil, though. And the dynamic change that is from technology. We're using a lot more oil than we used to, not per GDP unit or output or what have you. We're getting better at it. But the thing is that I just don't see it long term, because there is such an abundance of oil, because we can get to it. We figured out how to do it out of shale. Now, and also, I do think we are going to use more solar and all those other things as well. But right now, we are using it, and I think the energy companies are, in the next, if you will, short, intermediate term, are very mispriced. I think they're very underappreciated by the market. So I think you can make an investment there. I think that their price to earnings are relatively good right now, but I can't make a case that oil is going to go back to $100 a barrel. Any more than I can make a case that's going down to 50. We seem to be in a nice equilibrium right now. It's good for the United States because we are a net energy exporter. For prices to be reasonably high, it is good. It means more jobs and more pipelines and all those other things. And that is all positive for the economy. So I feel good about the energy market and its contribution to the economy. Those companies right now are undervalued and underappreciated. But I can't be thinking, boy, I got to go buy some Exxon and Chevron for the next 30 years. Don't feel that way at all.
So if I was looking at more individual stocks, I'm not right now, but I guess, which is a, when you look at individuals, it seems like a more of a gamble. But is it better to stay with some of the bigger, more established companies? Or do you think some of these smaller companies that are involved in things like the shale oil have better potential for return?
I think you have to be careful in the shale oil space. There's a lot of debt there. They're very heavily leveraged, and that's why many of them went away. So I would be very careful there, and you'd have to do a lot of homework. My favorite area in the favorite space in the energy space is, in fact, pipelines, utilities, transmission, whether it's power, electricity, all of those things. They're getting it right, if you will. They're getting the capital allocation correct, and they just look like they have a very good runway to me. That's something I think you can buy and, if you will, hold. And they had a huge turnover, a huge crunch, a huge bear market here about 3 or 4 years ago, and they're coming out that backside, and they're coming out better companies. Many of them have gone from the MLP structure to the C corporations and so on. And I don't want to get in the weeds here. I just want to say that that particular space is very attractive to me, and I would spend most of my time there.
Okay. Yeah, I just saw in the mail Idaho Power sending out a thing about rates possibly coming down.
They should come down. They really should. We're using less, and it's generating plenty of power with the hydro, et cetera. And so I think we're going to see rates coming down, really, if you will, nationwide. This is a trend right now where rate cuts might be coming, and that's very exciting. It's very exciting for our overall economy.
More money to invest.
Yes. It is exciting, really. That the energy prices could be coming down. We'll see.
Okay. And I heard your earlier analysis of the CBD and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I see it as a inevitable part of our future. The THC concerns me, but I think the market will mostly take care of that when you have a growing job market with UAs that are pretty standard now. THC is going to come along and remove a lot of people from good jobs, so long as we have good drug testing. So far as investments, do you see the big corporations getting into it? You didn't really, said you would prefer that, but do you see that trend?
No, they are. Yeah, this Constellation Brands bought a huge chunk of Canopy something or other not too long ago. A huge chunk. It was a major transaction. And yes, I see them, Coca-Cola, others, because of the beverage side, getting into it in a big way. Because they've got the distribution. And so they put a little bit of whatever in there. The problem they're running into so far, and it'll be solved at some point, is that apparently the oil, the cannabis oil, is thicker. And it kind of floats or something like that. And so you get that bad taste. And so that's what they're having to work on. But basically, I think we're going to see it in drinks down the road. I think you hear the music, Kevin. I got to roll.
Yep.
Sylvia, right, you hang on. I'll grab you off air. Everybody, thank you and have a wonderful weekend. I sure appreciate you listening. If you have any comments and questions during the week, do that at petsofinancial.com. We also have podcasts there. Have a great weekend.